welcome to Spingola Speaks. This is Deanna Spingola. I'm coming to you from the suburbs of Chicago. It is Monday, February 21st, President's Day, and you are listening to RBN because you can handle the truth. My website is spingola.com. My email is deanna@spingola.com. Washington's birthday today, we celebrate it, is a U.S. federal holiday celebrated on the third Monday of February in honor of George Washington. We also know it as President's Day, the fourth most celebrated holiday in America behind Christmas, Thanksgiving, and New Year's Day. Officially, President's Day is not the combined observance of Lincoln and Washington's birthdays, although that is the popular misconception. Lincoln's birthday, February 12th, was never a federal holiday, but many state governments have officially renamed their observances as President's Day. In conjunction with President's Day, and to properly celebrate it, we are going to discuss the intimacies of political ponderology. The word ponderology means the study of evil, usually associated with sociopathic or psychopathic behavior. Psychopaths enjoy advantages in the competitive climb to the top ranks of most of the social hierarchies. Psychopaths can lie without remorse and without the physiological and emotional stress that normal people experience. Psychopaths always say whatever is necessary to get what they want. They can tell lies in such a plausible manner, unlike normal people who have an emotional predisposition to tell the truth. Because they are so adept at deception, decision makers often promote them in the corporate, military, and governmental hierarchies. Consequently, the majority of all hierarchies inevitably become top-heavy with psychopaths because they have no restrictions on what they will do to get to the top. It is not power that corrupts. It is that corrupt people seek power. Today, my guest is Ken Freeland. He joined me in early January for only an hour when we discussed the topic of political ponderology. It is such an important topic and one that can help us to understand our current political climate. Therefore, he is back with us, and we will open the phone lines later on for you to call in and ask questions. Ken, welcome back to the program.
Well, thank you, Deanna. Wasn't it a wonderful coincidence that we're doing this on President's Day, like you just mentioned? The front book of the book that we're discussing, which is Political Ponderology by Andrew M. Lobachevsky, has featured on it a number of the historic leaders of the past, you know, that we always demonize. But then, on the bottom part, it has the, you know, members of the Bush administration.
How convenient.
I'm just looking at it right now and thinking how appropriate for President's Day, you know.
Yeah. We didn't do this on purpose. It just happened, but it certainly is appropriate.
Yeah. In fact, after we had the last discussion, I finished reading the book, LBJ, Mastermind of the JFK Assassination. And I'll tell you, if there was ever a sociopath in office, it was LBJ. He was a sociopath from the word go.
Oh, he was terrible. I've read a couple of books about him, and he was a monster. He was profane, vulgar, a womanizer. There was nothing that he wouldn't do to get what he wanted. He made deals in closets, and just a terrible man.
I'm hoping that we can use this 2 hours today to really get over on the listeners a much greater grasp or our concept of ponderology, of what ponderology is about, how the historical cycle works, and so forth and so on. It sounds like are we going to a break right now?
Right, we're going to a break. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
When I had a heart attack at 42, I was not sure what the future held. But a year later, the doctors could find nothing wrong with me and took me off all my medication. What did I do? I took a herbal mixture of garlic, cayenne, and a few other herbs mixed in liquid form. I now call this Extendovite. I would have never believed that a few simple herbs could actually change my life like they did. Now it's your turn to see what the powers of garlic and cayenne can do for you. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is an important message from hempusa.org. For our listeners who are advancing in age, baby boomers, and to all who want to be healthy, we urge you to try our microplant powder and see the difference it makes in your life. Please visit hempusa.org and read about microplant powder. It's easy to take, 1 heaping tablespoon in any liquid 3 times a day. Call 908-691-2608 or visit hempusa.org. Please inform your family, friends, and relatives about this incredible product. It can change your life if you give it a chance. So try microplant powder today. Call 908-691-2608. In this toxic world, microplant powder can help now in cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, viruses, fungus, and bacteria. Please download our catalog at hempusa.org today.
The Grainmaker Grain Mill. Handmade goodness since 1999. Handcrafted stainless steel and high-quality alloys. There has not been a finer grain mill made right here in the great state of Montana. Hand-operated, the grain mill does it all. Wheat, corn, peanut butter, rye, rice, coffee, beans, flaxseed, all grain types. Make your own gluten-free flour. Experience the satisfaction of providing wholesome, nutritious foods for your family without additives or preservatives. Each mill is handcrafted with manufacturer's lifetime warranty. To order your grain mill, call us at 1-800-724-2719 or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at why this grain mill will be passed down through generation.
Welcome back, friends. My guest today is Ken Freeland, and to celebrate President's Day, we're talking about political ponderology. Okay, what are some of the traits that these people exhibit?
The true pathologist, what he calls the essential pathologist, or the essential psychopath. Sorry. Is at the core of pathocracy, of macrosocial evil, of all basic evil, okay? And we all know what the psychopath is technically, but the essential psychopath is the true psychopath. But according to Dr. Lovacheski, there are a slew of other, what we would call character disorders, that sort of pave the way for the psychopath to gain power. You said earlier, Diane, that political ponderology is the study of evil, and that's absolutely correct. It's the science of the nature of evil, as he says, adjusted for political purposes. But Dr. Lobachevsky's view is that there's nothing inevitable about a psychopath gaining power, or of a society becoming a pathocracy. That in fact it's more of a cyclical arrangement, where just like the body, at times is resistance lowered, becomes infected by disease, and then, regains its health. He sees society doing pretty much the same thing with respect to the influence of evil on the society, what we would call macrosocial evil. There's always some evil somewhere, I suppose, we would have to say. And he sees evil as a continuum, and that it does aggregate over time. And if society's not careful, if society is lacking in the psychological knowledge of how evil comes into being and how it gains ascendancy in society, and the people are morally not prepared for it, morally and intellectually, it will inevitably run its course and overcome society. And, of course, we're all familiar with the major historical incidences of this. But
sure.
For Lobachevsky, it's not a matter of moralistic interpretation. He's very careful to distinguish for that, even though he asserts that he's a Christian and he's very concerned about this problem of evil. He believes that our moralistic approach to it has been ineffective, and that therefore we need to augment that with a more scientific understanding of it, which will at the same time enable us to distance ourselves from it to a much better degree, so that we don't become involved with it. And this actually it does very much reflect the standard Christian, although very neglected Christian, principle of not overcoming evil with evil, but overcoming evil with good. Not resisting evil with evil, I'm sorry, and of overcoming evil with good. And in other words, he's basically trying to teach us a radical kind of Christian approach to this, which happens to be his scientific analysis of evil and its historical recurrence as a social modality. Now, we'll get to this in a little bit. We'll explain in more detail what a pathocracy is. A pathocracy occurs whenever evil overcomes the good in either a society as a whole, where we call it macrosocial evil, or it can even happen in a family, where we might call it a microsocial evil, or somewhere in between on an institutional level. And I'm hoping that listeners that have any experience with this, as they hear it, or maybe they already understand the concept, will call in and share their experiences with pathocracy. The pathocracies occur whenever things become reversed, whenever our normal moral set of values becomes turned on its head, and all of a sudden you find yourself in a milieu where virtue is being punished and viciousness is being rewarded. You know, the opposite of the way it ought to be. And I want to mention again that Dr. Lobachevsky is very clear that the great vast majority of people are normal. They have a normal moral set and a normal moral approach to things, and that's why there's always hope whenever a society becomes pathocratic, whenever the polarization process overcomes the moral resistance of society, that it can right itself, because the vast majority of people maintain their healthy, what he calls the instinctive human substratum. Okay, that remains healthy in most people. But again, the root of evil is not, according to him, moral choice. The root of evil is a genuine pathology of the brain. Okay, he believes that there's a biological or biophysical issue with the true essential psychopaths and some of their the other pathologies that contribute to this state of macrosocial evil. And then those people can affect people who are not biologically who don't have biological issues, and to some degree can overcome some of them, and can you know, especially if they're affected at an early age. Say you had a biologically deranged a mother, for example, or a father. They could have an influence on you that would be very similar to your having that biological problem, even if you had no defect. So. That's where he sees the root of evil, and that's why he believes a scientific approach, one that's non-judgmental, is the most important. Not that we don't judge evil as something that we need to do something about and correct, but that we don't get involved in a moralistic interpretation that requires us to spend all our time and energy trying to figure out how to punish people, when what we want to do is to right society, okay, to bring society back to its senses, more or less, okay? So that's a nutshell interpretation, I think, of where he goes. But I'm going to, very soon, after our next break, I think, I'll try to read several pages that I think are key pages from his book that may give people a clearer understanding of how he views this process. And then we can maybe, hopefully hear from some people, and they can share their experiences if they have some relevant experiences.
Okay. Now, only about 5% of the population have this issue. They're either sociopathic or they are psychopathic, and they could live next door to you. We often think of people in this category as someone like Hannibal Lecter or some really evil person that ends up in jail because of his behavior. But these are people who actually can manipulate their way through society and do seem to rise to the top in all of these different social hierarchies, including politics.
Well, they do, Diana, when we're living in a hypocrisy. Okay, when the democratic values have taken hold, those people do rise to the top, and they're all, he says that at a certain point, every single psychopath will have a job. In other words, will have something to do because they'll all be selected, and society will select for those people. In terms of what you're saying, I think it's useful to think about it this way. Hannibal Lecter type psychopaths are unsuccessful psychopaths. Okay, the successful psychopaths are the ones that you probably will find very high up on the corporate hierarchy somewhere. Okay. In fact, I remember the most recent version of Zeitgeist. I don't know if you've seen it yet. Zeitgeist Moving Forward.
Right.
There's an interview in there with what's his name? He does that really interesting show on finance all the time. Kaiser, Max Kaiser, and he reports that they did a study, and they found that corporate leaders who had brain damage did much better on Wall Street. I'm sorry, this is Wall Street people on Wall Street. People with brain damage did much better than people who did not have brain damage. And that again reinforces this idea that the root of this might just be, biological. It might actually be a biological component that is the necessary condition for the genesis of evil in society.
Well, there are also people who take risks more readily than the rest of us. Most of us are somewhat reticent to take really big chances, but these people, they just go into anything, and they're risk takers.
Well,
and
you could argue that that's not rational, and that at some level, they're not able to compute. There's a book that Dr. Lobachevsky refers to sometimes, the classic study by, what was that guy's name? I'm blanking out on his name at the moment, but he wrote a classic study on psychopaths here in America. He was an American doctor, and he shows over and over and over and over again that these people are incapable of learning from experience. They simply cannot compute it. A lot of them had issues with alcohol and so forth, and they'd say, I should just not drink because whenever I drink, but it's not just alcoholism. It's everything. Everything they do, they get in trouble with the authorities in one way, shape, or form, usually the police. And yet they're incapable of saying, well, I better not do that anymore. They'll end up doing the same thing over and over and over again. They'll take these huge risks. They'll do really things that we would think are really, stupid. These are the psychopaths that end up in the institutional level at some point. But they're a very small minority of the psychopaths.
Most of them are walking around living next door to us and functioning in a job. They have learned how to manipulate their issues to their benefit.
Yeah, he says, the earliest detection of a psychopath is easy. I mean, they're usually the bullies, when you're younger.
Right. Or they're blowing up frogs.
That's right. George W. Bush. He's featured prominently on the cover here. He was definitely fit the mold.
Right.
So, yeah.
Okay, we're going to a break, and we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Attention. Attention RBN listeners. The Freeze-Dry Guy, providing the finest in long-term storage food since 1970. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. In actual scientific tests, these foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. These foods are delicious tasting, hearty, light to carry, and easy to prepare under the most adverse conditions. Unfortunately, many people building a family food storage program, as well as many companies providing emergency feeding programs, simply do not give you enough protein, especially animal protein. No other food satisfies like animal protein during stressful times. If you're a meat eater, you will definitely want our freeze-dried meats and entrees, but we do offer vegetarian items as well. Visit freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasemedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasemedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Welcome back, friends. This is Deanna, and my guest today is Ken Freeland, and we are talking about political ponderology. Okay, continue.
Okay, well, I'd like to use this segment now for Ken to actually read from the book, and both by way of interesting the listeners in maybe obtaining the book, but also to set the stage for our upcoming discussion, hopefully, where we talk about where we share our experiences with pathocracy. This is from page 55. In each society, there are people whose basic intelligence, natural psychological worldview, and moral reasoning have developed improperly. Some of these persons contain the cause within themselves. Others were subjected to psychologically abnormal people as children. Such individuals' comprehension of social and moral questions is different, both from the natural and from the objective viewpoint. It constituted a destructive factor for the development of society's psychological concepts, social structure, and internal bonds. At the same time, such people easily interpenetrate the social structure with a ramified network of mutual pathological conspiracies poorly connected to the main social structure. These people and their networks participate in the genesis of that evil which spares no nation. This substructure gives birth to dreams of obtaining power and imposing one's will upon society, and is quite often actually brought about in various countries and during historical times as well. Now I'd like to jump to page 119, and I will read more extensively from here, and then we can move on to the next thing, okay? For centuries, individuals exhibiting various psychological anomalies have had the tendency to participate in the activities of human union. This is made possible on the one hand by such weaknesses, i.e., a failure
inadequate psychological knowledge. On the other hand, it deepens the moral failings and stifles the possibility of utilizing healthy common sense and understanding matters objectively. In spite of the resulting tragedies and unhappiness, humanity has shown a certain progress, especially in the cognitive area. Therefore, a phonerologist may be cautiously optimistic. After all, by detecting and describing these aspects of the phonerization process of human groups, which could not be understood until recently, we shall be able to counteract such processes earlier and more effectively. Again, depth and breadth of knowledge of human psychological variations is crucial. Any human group affected by the process described herein is characterized by its increasing regression from natural common sense and the ability to perceive psychological reality. Someone considering this in terms of traditional categories might consider it an instance of, quote, turning into half-wits, end quote, or the development of intellectual deficiencies and moral failings. A phonerological analysis of this process, however, indicates that pressure is being applied to the more normal part of the association by pathological factors present in certain individuals who have been allowed to participate in the group because the lack of good psychological knowledge has not mandated their exclusion. Thus, whenever we observe some group member being treated with no critical distance, although he betrays one of the psychological anomalies familiar to us, and his opinions being treated as at least equal to those of normal people, although they are based on characteristically different view of human matters, we must derive the conclusion that this human group is affected by a phonerogenic process. Phonerogenic meaning generating evil. Okay, a phonerogenic process, and if measures are not taken, the process shall continue to its logical conclusion. We shall treat this in accordance with the above-described first criterion of phonerology, which retains its validity regardless of the qualitative and quantitative features of such a union. The atrophy of natural critical faculties and respect to pathological individuals becomes an opening to their activity, and at the same time, the criterion for recognizing the association and concern as phonerogenic. Such a state of affairs simultaneously consists as a liminal or watershed situation, whereupon further damage to people's healthy common sense and critical moral faculties becomes even easier. Once a group has inhaled a sufficient dose of pathological material to give birth to the conviction that these not quite normal people are unique geniuses, it starts subjecting its more normal members to pressure characterized by corresponding paralogical and paramoral elements. I'm going to break here for just a second to say that I will deal momentarily with the meaning of paralogical and paramoral. These are extremely important concepts that I was not familiar with until I read this book. Okay, back to the book. For many people, such pressure of collective opinion takes on attributes of a moral criterion. For others, it represents a kind of psychological terror ever more difficult to endure. This phenomenon of counter-selection thus occurs in this phase of phonerization. Individuals with a more normal sense of psychological reality leave after entering into conflict with a newly modified group. Simultaneously, individuals with various psychological anomalies join the group and easily find a way of life there. The former feel pushed into, quote, counter-revolutionary positions, end quote, and the latter can afford to remove their masks of sanity ever more often. People who have thus been thrown out of a phonerogenic association because they were too normal suffer bitterly. They are unable to understand their specific state. Their ideal, the reason they joined the group, which constituted a part of meaning of life for them, has now been degraded. Although they cannot find a rational basis for this fact, they feel wrong. They feel they quote, fight against demons, end quote. They are not in a position to identify, end quote. The fact is, their personalities have already been modified to a certain extent due to a saturation by abnormal psychological material, especially psychopathic material.
Okay. We need to go to a break, okay. And we'll be right back after a station ID.
Okay.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Are you still paying your credit cards and so-called bank loans thinking that you owe the money? Do you feel like it's your moral obligation but can't see an end in sight? Well, what if I told you that in truth, you don't owe a single penny, and that the banks know this and hope you don't find out? Here's where we come in. Free2Prosper.com specializes in a profound debt repudiation method which challenges the validity of your so-called debts, morally frees you from the burdens, and protects your property. Our system is often superior to settlement, bankruptcy, or consolidation, which often leave you in a worse situation. If you feel the moral obligation to take care of yourself and your family, then I urge you to consider taking action right now. The economy will not wait. If you want to know more so you can prosper through the economic collapse, all while staying honorable and true to yourself, then call 877-417-8393. That's 877-417-8393. Or visit free2prosper.com right now.
Estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease, a phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system, and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
Do you need help getting your child to behave? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'm willing to give away thousands of my best-selling Total Transformation programs for free. All you do is tell us how the program works for you and your family. Did it turn around your child's behavior? Did the screaming and arguing stop in your home? Is he doing better in school? The Total Transformation has helped hundreds of thousands of families. I want to see what it can do for you, and I'm willing to let you have it for free. Just order my program, use it with your child, then send me your feedback. I'll refund the purchase price of the program. You keep the Total Transformation program forever, for free. You don't have to struggle with your child's bad behavior one more day, because now you can try my Total Transformation, and the program will be free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Welcome back, friends. My guest today is Ken Freeland, and we are talking about political ponderology, which is basically a predatory leadership, and what kinds of people are attracted to these top positions in politics, and some of the damage that can happen. Okay, go ahead and continue.
Maybe break off here. That's not a bad place to break off, because I think what it's done is set the stage of describing what it's like when a group gets taken over by ponderogenic process. I hope that there are listeners out there that have experienced that they can share with us about what happens when you're in an institution or a family which suddenly, or maybe not so suddenly, but definitely goes through a trajectory where all of a sudden the normal values have been reversed, and all of a sudden the wrong behaviors are being reinforced, and the wrong values are coming to the ascendant, and there seems like there's no way out. You know, like he says, it seems like you're fighting against demons, but you can't understand. He says elsewhere that it's you might wish to compare the state to one in which the inmates of an asylum take over running the institution. And I want to say that I have had a personal experience with this myself, and that's why I find this book so illuminating. Because I was in an institution where actually people had to be elected to represent people in this institution. And after the elections were over, all of a sudden some of the people that were elected began behaving in ways that were opposite to the declared values of the organization. And before I knew it, things had been pretty much run into the ground and reversed on it. And even though the original, let's call it an ideology, because that's the word that that Dr. Lobachevsky uses most often, the original ideology remained the same, the substance of it had been completely evaporated, and actually the opposite was going on underneath the surface. This was to be a nonprofit institution. So,
I kind of think that we have that situation in this country where we claim to be a wonderful Christian nation, that we help other people, that we're, you know, we claim to be righteous, where in fact we're a little bit more self-righteous than righteous. And, while making these claims, we have no hesitation, to go and bomb innocent people in foreign countries.
Yeah, well, two things to say about that. First of all, what you're describing is what Dr. Lobachevsky calls macro-social evil, or macro-social pathocracy. But the second thing is that this actual way of doing things is a good example. It's an excellent example of paramoralism, because when we fight these incredibly aggressive and wanton wars against others, we are always going in there with some kind of a humanistic, moralistic excuse, okay? And
right. That's
a good example of a paramoralism. It's not really moral, but it's given an overlay that has the appearance of being morality. And it's the same thing with paralogic. You might find something totally unreasonable, but the explanation given for it appears to have some kind of reasoning, okay? Paramoralism and paralogic, you might substitute the words pseudo-moral and pseudo-logic for them, I think, because basically it's a way of appealing to the same kind of need for logic and morality without actually providing any, okay? Because the purposes of the leadership are amoral and illogical, and that's the bottom line. Okay, these are people who have no conscience. I mean, we have to remember that whenever we talk about psychopaths, the fundamental characteristic of the psychopath is they have no conscience. They don't respond to moral criteria at all.
Right, and they also don't form any close relationships with people. So they just don't have any empathy. They don't have any compassion. Mm-hmm. And that's why they can, call us to go to war against people who basically haven't done anything to us.
Hey, it's as easy as blowing up a frog, right?
Right, which I think is reprehensible. I wouldn't do that to anything.
Yeah.
But, and they just don't, and they lie about it. And mm-hmm. The other thing that they demonstrate is they can call all kinds of emotions. They can cry on cue,
oh, yeah.
They can look sad, and as I was going through some of the notes regarding this book, I thought about John Boehner, who recently, right after he was put in a speaker, that he was just, talking about the troops, and I didn't really listen, but I did see the tears, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, is this guy good? And that's the kind of things that these politicians can do.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a very good point. The ability to, again, this American writer whose name escapes me, who wrote about psychopaths, the name of his book was The Mask of Sanity, okay? And they're very good at imitating sane people, at imitating emotional health, because they see it as artificial. I mean, for them it's artificial, okay? They don't see it the same way that we do. I mean, we see somebody cry, we think somebody's hurt, needs help, and so forth and so on. For them, that person gets attention, okay? That's the way to get attention, is you put on this act of crying, and you get attention. You move people. You can manipulate people that way, and so forth and so on. It's an entirely different way of looking at the world, and it's very sad. I mean, I think ultimately that Lobachevsky may be correct, that what we really need to feel for these psychopaths is the empathy that they don't feel for anybody else, because, or not empathy, I should say sympathy, but we should feel sympathy for them, because they are deficient in a very basic human characteristic. And it would be hard to believe, it's hard for us to imagine, I think, living totally outside of the healthy, normal, the psychological, emotional, and intellectual realm, but they do. They live totally outside of it.
And isn't this kind of generational? For instance, if you were raised with people of this caliber, this nature, where you just don't, you're not in the kind of environment where you would appropriately have these feelings grow in you, where, you know, if I'm thinking about George W. Bush. He was born to privilege. Mm-hmm. He saw his father behave in much the same way that he behaved as president. And I think that people of this nature, the elite, feel that they have some sort of a right over and above the masses, and that they're somehow special, when
I'm glad you brought that part up, Deanna, because this is another part of what Lobachevsky talks about. What he calls the schizoidal declaration. The schizoid are a type of psychopath who presage the essential psychopaths who come later. But they're the ones who formulate usually a sort of an ideological approach that says basically this: we are special. We are the ones who ought to rule the world, and we will rule the world in this kind of a way, and it's the best thing that could happen. Okay? And there are a number of examples you can draw from historically where this kind of ideology has been expressed, where people have actually fought wars over their need, or in particularly undergone political struggles for the sake of asserting this kind of elitist, always elitist control over a country or a world. Okay. So you're right. You're absolutely right. That is part and parcel of where the psychopaths end up going if they gain political power. And that's the big if. That's always the big if. Because the only way that they don't gain political power is for society to recognize them in the offing immediately and make sure that they don't get political power, make sure that they're never in positions of responsibility over people who are not like themselves. Because if they do, they're going to hurt those people. They're going to damage those people. They're going to manipulate the hell out of them. And before you know it, they're going to be running the show. And those people who were normal will be in a weakened position and less able to cope with them.
Right. But what if those very same people happen to own the media and can control a nation's perceptions of them?
Well, then we have what we call a pathocracy, which means that it has come to the ascendant, and it is in total control. However, let me go back to where I was reading before and just read one little part here that I had that I didn't finish, that talks about why there's still some hope. Internally, the group is becoming progressively more pathological, finally showing its true qualitative colors again as its activities become ever clumsier. At this point, a society of normal people can easily threaten phonologic associations, even at the macro social level. So over time, they end up being their own worst enemy. Because they lack that basic human characteristic, and because they rely on paralogic rather than logic, okay, ultimately, they manifest who they are. And when that happens, when it becomes super manifest, then the normal mass of society rejects them, and can do so. And I think we're seeing possibly examples of that right now in the Middle East. I'm not sure. I don't know enough about that to say for sure, but it seems like all of a sudden people there are rejecting their leadership. And we see that those leaderships are quite vulnerable, and they were quite repressive. So maybe that's a good example of why there's always hope. I mean, who would have said a year ago that all of these reactionary Arab regimes would be toppled, or in the process of being toppled all at once? But here it is.
That seems almost like it's coordinated, if you ask me.
Well, I agree. That's why I'm careful. I'm trying to be careful about making an assessment here. I really can't make one either because it does look a little like it could have been
Mossad.
Orchestrated. Yeah. So I don't know. But the point is that those regimes were autocratic. They were repressive. They were possibly, for the most part, phrenogenic, although I don't know enough about some of them to say, but they are clearly vulnerable when they get to the point where people reject them. And, of course, you can see from what Gaddafi's trying to do that he's acting in this clumsy kind of way, okay? He's got it. He's going to go now, obviously, because he's showing his hand. The anti-human element has come to the fore, and when that happens, people will not tolerate the leadership.
Sure. But, it's very interesting. I think that a lot of times people become psychopathic or sociopathic maybe if they're on the take. For instance, in a lot of the third world countries, mm-hmm. you have leaders who will sell out their own people if the international bankers will give them a sufficient amount of money. Mm-hmm. And so were they that way to begin with? Or were they just kind of led along and encouraged to develop this kind of antisocial behavior? What do you think?
Well, I think you're describing corruption there, okay? And that certainly is how imperialism prospers around the world. I think you've described the process very well, but it doesn't necessarily follow from that we're talking about a ponerogenic process. It would depend on how these people in turn related to their own people. It's a little more complex than simply taking the economic advantage. Okay. However,
okay.
let's agree that the most likely people to take that comprador, which you're describing as the comprador class, the substitute for the imperial system in their own country, the most people most likely to qualify for that are going to be the most psychopathological or the most psychopathic.
Right.
And so, yes, in that respect, I think you could probably argue that that's what's going on there. You're basically, Lobachevsky talks about that, exporting hypocrisy. At a certain point, it becomes virulent and it tries to export itself to other countries. It tries to move beyond its own borders.
Right. And, of course, people have to be a little sociopathic to rise to the top in those third world countries, too. So, they all seem to find each other, right?
Well, that's true. He says that they almost instinctively find each other. People, I talked earlier, I quoted him about the networks that these people form, but they recognize each other quite easily. And they form these ponerogenic associations with one another almost as a matter of course. That's why, again, the only solution to this problem is for the society as a whole to understand how this works, to be able to identify these types of people whenever they are doing this sort of thing, and to make sure that they are never ever allowed into positions of authority or power. I guess it would be sort of like the way that we treat sex criminals now. That they're always isolated and they're never allowed to go into situations where they could hurt somebody sexually, even after they're out of
Hello?
Prison.
Hello?
Hello? Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, you disappeared
for
a while.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was likening Lobachevsky's argument for how these people ought to be treated, identified and isolated, in the same way that we treat common sex criminals today, okay? Where they're even after they're out of jail, they're always kept isolated from situations where they could do damage. Okay, and it's the same idea. You would make sure that these people are tagged, and they're never allowed, into political office. They're never allowed into positions of large responsibility, any place where they would be over people who are not, normal.
Sure, but you're talking about, I think, most of the people in Congress. What do you do?
Hello? Hello?
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Have you heard? Proactive is new and better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway and you'll also receive free shipping. Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With New Proactive, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-635-1053. Because we're going to let a million people try New Proactive risk-free. Get two free gifts and also receive free shipping when you call right now. You heard it. Be one of the first to try new and better than ever Proactive, and you'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial of the new Proactive, two free extras, and free shipping when you call 1-800-635-1053. This is our best radio offer ever. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of new Proactive plus free shipping. That's right, free shipping. This offer won't last long. Call 1-800-635-1053. That's 1-800-635-1053.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Welcome back, friends. This is Deanna, and my guest today is Ken Freeland. I seem to be having a little bit of a problem today with the internet connectivity. And anyway, I'm back. And Ken, are you with us?
Yep.
Good. And I wasn't even talking about the Zionist or anything. I was just talking about about Congress. I don't know.
Fancy that. Wow.
But you know, really, when you think about Congress and when you think about mayors and the state governments, I mean, these people are spread across the board. I mean, we have them in our local, in our federal jurisdiction, in our governments. And what do you do? How do you handle a situation like that? I mean, we're like in Chicago, we're facing the election of a person who's basically committed all kinds of crimes. His father was a terrorist, and he goes around glad handing everybody and promising to do these wonderful, wonderful things. When you know he's the kind of person you're talking about.
Well, absolutely. It's a really good example that you do there. The answer to your question, unfortunately, is not as optimistic as we might hope. Lobachevsky's argument is that there is no solution to this problem other than, first of all, society being a fair and just place to live in the first place, which, of course, is not the case when you have such people in power. But secondly, then is education. And I think, you know, by having programs on the subject, you're doing what you can do to help help get that process started of getting people to think about these ideas and to begin looking at their social world, you know, kind of as it were with new eyeballs, with this information in hand, to be able to detect and to maybe even confront from time to time those individuals who fit this bill. Okay, you know, in other words, if you went up to, let's say, the example you were just giving, who's running for mayor of Chicago, and said, "Hey, you know what? I know what you are."
Oh, that would work.
Pretend to be. You're not who you pretend to be. You're not just some politician that's out to help the party politics. You're the son of a terrorist who is out to destroy the social fabric of the United States. That's who you are. You know, if you said something like that, you know, and there were people around you who could understand what you were saying and relate to it and act accordingly, then there's hope. But until these concepts, and Lobachevsky keeps going back to the psychological concepts, until these concepts gain currency and people understand what it is that we're dealing with, there is not a lot of hope, to be honest about it. That would be Lobachevsky's argument, is we have to learn what we're dealing with in order to deal with it.
Right. Because normal people don't have these kinds of thoughts, and so they just don't, they can't even conceive of other people thinking the way that these psychopaths think.
Exactly. It's almost beyond our moral comprehension to think that somebody could do that anymore, but they are. You know, and yet and still, if we take a really sober look at what's going on in the world, you know, how Israel is actually treating Palestine, for example.
Right.
How the United States is actually treating the citizens of Iraq, for example. If we look at that in real soberly, without an ideological filter, we see that the people who are behind this have to be people with a very, very diminished conscience, if they have one at all. Okay.
Right.
And that should give us a clue of who's leading this country, who's been leading the political system for a while.
Right.
I'm hopeful by the end of that
we're going to a station
okay.
break.
Okay.
And we'll be right back.